Matt McGill and Kimberly Agoin. Afternoons on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Chicago's own Comet joins forces with members of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra for a one-night-only concert Monday, June 3rd at Symphony Center. Hear songs including Golden Globe and Academy Award-winning Glory, try to say that seven times fast, from Selma and more. Tickets start at $80. Visit cso.org/common. Also, May is Health Awareness Month. Did you know people who are positive tend to have better health and success in life than those who are negative thinkers? This healthy tip is brought to you by Resurrection University. See what ResU can do for you. Start your career now at Resurrection University. And speaking of Resurrection University, we've been talking about ResU all month. But today is the day that we are lucky and fortunate enough to have two beautiful, wonderful women in studio with us. They are both RNs. And joining us today, we have got Crandall Ross, who is an assistant professor of nursing at Resurrection University in Chicago. We also have Lori Zeck. She's worked as a nurse for 25 years and as a licensed professional counselor for 10 years and a family nurse practitioner for the past 5 years. She is at Resurrection University as the Director of Institutional Research and Accreditation Liaison. How are you both doing today?
Great.
We are so excited to have you here with us. As you know, we've been talking about health all month. This is an important, it's been really exciting to hear the different facets, but there is nothing more important than mental health. We do not spend a lot of time talking about mental health, and it's so important to our entire well-being. What do you all have to say about mental health today? What are the things that we should be concerned about?
You should be concerned about doing things that are positive for you, things that decrease your stress, such as journal writing, cooking, watching fun movies, things such as aromatherapy, or when you have a bad day, you just want to do things that pamper yourself.
Okay.
For example, for myself, I like listening to music, so my go-to songs are Earth, Wind, and Fire,
yep.
Michael Jackson.
Yes. And they usually have very positive messages,
yes,
in those types of songs, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then generally I try to do some cooking, baking, or gardening, looking at my plants, and just realizing I had a good day, and I'll start the next one with a better attitude and just feeling good about that.
So the key is, I guess, to find things that you are really excited about. So someone else, it may be a whole list of something completely different.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. I think often we can, certain events will happen and it might color the rest of our day. So planning in advance and knowing some things that bring you joy or bring you peace and tranquility is really important. So, for example, when my kids were younger, getting them out the door to school was just a hot mess, and you know, I'm missing a sock, I can't find my backpack, I don't know,
disaster.
Where my homework is.
Yeah.
And they were really, really stressed leaving for school. And so we decided that we would get ready for school 15 minutes early, and then 15 minutes before the bus came, we would turn on some music and we'd have a good old-fashioned dance-off.
Oh.
So that they could go to school in that positive mindset, feeling good. And it just changes the whole color of the day.
It does, doesn't it? So, but what do you say to someone who may, you know, they have all the things that they love, but they're not really enjoying them that much? Maybe they are feeling down a lot and, you know, not able to function with that same level of enjoyment that they once were. What do you think that someone like that, what should they be doing?
They probably should talk to their healthcare provider.
Okay.
Especially if it's lasted more than 2 weeks or it's been a continuing pattern. they should really seek assistance and guidance from their healthcare provider. Find out what's going on.
Okay.
The other thing to remember is that so many people choose to ignore the fact that they're feeling down, or they just try to dismiss it. And it's really important to recognize that, you know, according to the Centers for Disease Control, more than half of the population that have some symptoms of depression or anxiety never ever seek help. And it's really important to remove the stigma of going to just
talk to somebody. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, and if you don't have a regular physician and you're feeling really, you have a lot of emotions that you're trying to process, reaching out to, you know, you can call the local ER and they can give you resources and refer you to places, or contacting a crisis line and they have access to resources that are right in your own neighborhood. If you don't have anybody to turn to.
But it's important to try and at least have those conversations. I will give you an example. You know, right here at the station, we have lost a member of our family. I mean, we're pretty close-knit. There are not a lot of us who work here, so we really rely on each other. We all know each other, and a member of our family has just passed away very suddenly. And he was just an integral part of everything. If you listen to our station, his voice is on everything, you know, and sometimes the commercials come up and it's his voice. And everyone, they've had different years of knowing how long they've known him, but everyone has been impacted by this. What would you say to someone who is suffering from what I would call grief? I mean, how do you get over something like that?
You don't get over it. You rely on your memories. You think about your memories, the good times, the conversations that you've had with that person, and you support one another.
Okay, so supporting each other. Okay.
Yeah, and recognizing that, you know, you're gonna have those good times where you're sitting around and you're talking about things and you're all laughing and you're really embracing some of those memories, and then there are gonna be times where memories hit you hard and it's painful, and that is a normal part of grieving, and it just takes time because you have to process through that loss.
Yeah, and I think that's where now we're coming up there. The actual services will be held, you know, and it's a lot to keep working every day. You know, some people really had a good relationship. We have one gentleman here who went to high school with him, you know, so he's known him for all that many years, saw him every day. So what you're saying is that you never really get over it, but you just try to figure out a way to live with it. I guess that's what you're saying, and
correct,
still be able to function every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. But, you know, you were just saying stigma. You know, there's a stigma behind going to seek out help. Is that being erased? I mean, are we doing a better job of supporting people, or are we not doing everything that we can?
Well, we like to believe that it's getting better, but the statistics show us that it's still a struggle. It's still something that people aren't comfortable with. You know, they don't want to be labeled. They don't want to, you know, they'll associate, well, if I reach out for help, that means there's something wrong with me, or I'm not normal. And the reality is reaching out to somebody is the normal response. Reaching out to support systems and knowing that sometimes when your feelings are getting in the way of your enjoying what you normally enjoy, and getting in the way of your social relationships, your personal relationships, it's affecting you at work or at school. It's in those moments where, you know, you can go see a physician or nurse practitioner, and, you know, it might be something that's really physically wrong that we can treat with some medication, or that we can support with different treatment options so you can feel better and have a better quality of life.
So there are medications that are proven to really have a high impact on what it sounds like. Then a lot of this may be a chemical imbalance.
Could be.
Okay.
Yes, yes. The other thing I'd like to also share, too, is that sometimes people feel that they're weak if they reach out for help, or that's a sign of weakness, or they're not strong. But actually, by reaching out, you demonstrate strength.
Yeah.
It would be the same if you had diabetes and or you didn't know that you had it and you were wondering, why am I urinating all the time? Mm. Or why do I have this insatiable hunger and then I'm losing a lot of weight? You're going to go and seek that out because it bothers you. You're not, your quality of life has changed. So it's the same thing. Once you've noticed that there you're having some symptoms or some signs of things that are just a little off, or maybe you're feeling very sad constantly, signs of depression, you want to seek help.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so there are symptoms, and so that's important. And one of the things, because at our station, we have got people. Okay, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. I want to talk about how we can help draw other people out if we think someone is having an issue. I think that that's important. You're listening to WVON, 1690 AM, The Talk of Chicago. We're in a break now for traffic and weather.
Matt McGill and Kimberly Agoin. Afternoons on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Chicago, and we are joined in studio with two experts from Resurrection University. We are joined by Crandall Ross, who is an assistant professor of nursing, and we also have Lori Zach, who is the director of institutional research and accreditation liaison. And we were just talking about, I want to get back to the grief, the idea of grief. When do you know that someone needs help with grief, with the grieving process?
When someone is not able to, it interferes with their everyday functioning, their relationships, their ability to go to work, for school. Perhaps they keep the room or the dwelling the same way that the loved one that passed kept it. They perhaps make it a shrine that. They can't get past the fact that that person is gone, and so they just close themselves off. They really just have a hard time with dealing with life.
Okay, I want to ask you a question: grief versus depression. So someone grieving, but then also the idea of depression. What would are there major differences between the two? How do you find a distinction between the two, define that?
So grieving is a normal process, and it's something that we expect people to go through. The hallmark of grieving is that at first it's pretty tough, and then you have these ups and downs, and it gradually gets better.
Okay.
With depression, you're going to have... You know, you're gonna kind of be stuck in that place of negative feelings and depressed feelings, loss of interest in pleasurable things. The person might stop talking to their friends and their loved ones. They'll become withdrawn. They'll stop engaging in social activities, and generally, they'll feel pretty down for more days than they feel up.
If you want to talk to someone who you think is having symptoms, how do you approach that?
Gingerly.
Yeah, very gingerly.
Perhaps you would probably just tell them that you've noticed that they don't want to do some of the same activities that they once loved, that they're staying more to themselves, that would they like to talk about it. And or perhaps maybe they might want to see a healthcare professional and just share some of those feelings, because by sharing the feelings, they can get some help and it would make them feel better. It would increase their quality of life, and it's treatable if
they only reach out.
Right. Yeah. If they reach out.
and get the help. We want to thank you so much, Crandall Ross and Lori Zach, both of Resurrection University. We want to thank you so much for sharing your expertise in these areas. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.